is a maaser that the Drasha Ber Soloveitchik says over about his father, Reb Moshe, Zichel Bracha. And when Reb Moshe once went to the doctor, Reb Moshe wore a kapata, he wore a Rabbanu Shekapel, and he goes to the doctor. So he takes off his kapata, he takes off his shirt, takes off his tzitzis, takes off his undershirt. So Reb Moshe said, this is, you know, when I was wearing my kapata, I was Rosh Hashiva, I was a Rav. Take off my kapata, so I'm a Yid. Right? And take off my shirt, then take off my tzitzis, so I'm a Goy. I take off my undershirt, I'm a Behema. That's the Maisa. So I always had mixed reactions to this Maisa. Like, the reason why I had mixed reactions to this Maisa, Rav Shiva Gifter used to always say over a word from the Alta tells the Rav, the Morris says in Gittin, that Shlomo Melech was one of the three kings, it was Malach Bekipa, he ruled over the whole world. The Morris says that originally he was Malach Bekipa, eventually through the stages of the Bershon's punishments to Shlomo Melech, etc., the process, so he was Malach on Yisrael, Malach on Yerushalayim. And the Morris says at the end he was Malach al Maklai. He was a king over his walking stick. So Shiva says, what does that mean, Malach al Maklai? You know, how is the walking stick his constituency? You know, so you have your king over subjects, his walking stick is his subject. What does it mean? He says, so Shiva was said over a word, which I think Rebaron has learned in the Yisrael Torah from the Kuzari, that he has to describe what a Chochem is. So he starts describing the person who's a Moshel, he controls everything inside of his city properly, etc. He says, I asked you about a Chochem, not about a Moshel. The male of Kuzar asks the Chover. So he says, that's what a Chochem is. He's Mechalkel Dvar B'Mishpat, we are Metzius. Within our being, there are many different koichos inside of ourselves, and the person who's the melech, which means he's able to use the koichos properly, that's chokhmah. So a person can be a melech even though he has no am, because the am is the various different koichos inside of the person. We give this over this word multiple times. This was a quintessential Telzer word, and the kuda of how the person. The Kud of Seder, Rishos Salanter was one time quoted to say that the 13 meters that Rishos Salanter worked on, etc., based on the Sefer Cheshbon Nefesh system. Tells the Rav one time said, he says, which one's the Iker? Says the Iker one is Seder. She tells her, right? The Iker one is Seder, because Seder is the point of having the discipline to use the right each meter in the right time. They once asked the Brisker Rav to describe Reb Chaim. Chaim Brisker, you know. He says, describe Reb Chaim, what type of personality did he have? So he said, my father was what the Torah wanted him to be when he was supposed to be that. That's what my father was. He didn't define himself by his natural inclinations. He was what he was supposed to be, whenever he was supposed to be. So that ability to do that is the Midah Malchus. That's what Shiva used to say. That's the Midah Malchus. So describe yourself, just because you don't have your shirt on, that you're no longer the Rosh Hashiva, you're no longer the Melech. That's one reaction I had to the story. The second reaction I had to the story is the godless of the tremendous amount of self-awareness that he had, that we're affected by the reality around us. Maisa Dalta tells a Rav that he was once walking with a Talmidim. They were walking by a person who was a potter, had various wares spread out on the sidewalk, etc. So he said to the Talmidim, he says, you don't think that I have a taiva to take my walking stick and smash all of the things and have the geshmak of breaking things? But I control myself. Right? The definition of godless is not that I don't have things pulling me in different directions. It's denying the reality inside of me. It's recognizing it and trying to and using it properly. Right? that mida to have the idea to take over and to control and to be the one who gets to decide the fate of things, there's a time to use it, right? So that end up being, the Mora says that, you know, part of the chinuch of a child is giving him kalim to break. That's part of his growth process. He gets to be the one who the destructive act gives a certain amount of hanoah. A person who has children knows that, right? The hanoah of messing up somebody else's thing, right? It's much more somebody else's thing that they have hanoah than their own thing. They like making their own towers and breaking them, etc. But when their sibling made the towers, it's even much more fun. Because I'm exerting an element of control over something else. So that has a time and place as well, but that can be a very negative thing, not denying it, recognizing it. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan never called his clothing, he called his clothing his mechabdusa. That is what gave him his covet. So Rabbi Yochanan, I can't say words about Rabbi Yochanan. The descriptions of Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara just are mind-boggling, and that Rabbi Yochanan said that he felt the definition of recognizing his value was enhanced when he was wearing his clothing. His clothing helped him define himself. So to the average Hamunam, I get the concept. But Rabbi Yochanan recognized such a mitzvah. And you find different Gemaras where you see the Amoraim, the Tanoim, spoke about himself, and they said they recognized the different desires inside of themselves, and they held them in check, but they didn't deny that they're there. So that the person should recognize, have this extraordinary recognition of who he is every single moment without the help of externals, is not true. Adarabba, that is why the Russian created these externals, is to help us understand who we are. So the Mauritian, after the Chet, the Russian makes him clothing. Now, Hirsch points out that the name of a beged, the word for clothing is a beged. Beged is the same word as rebellion, bogat, because the clothing is a reminder of the chet, vodamarishan, that there was a rebellion. Right? If we had not sinned, we would not need this. We would be so defined by our neshama that the goof would be the clothing for the neshama, and that's all we would be necessary. But now that we've done the chet, and our desires and our yetzer haras have become part of who we are, the Rosh Hashanah gave us a vehicle to overcome it. And that is to create a definition for ourselves, which we impose upon ourselves, externally as it were, in a certain sense, and then live up to it. The Mora says that, the Mora goes the whole story, there was a son of one of the Tanoim who was not following the path of his father in a very significant way. So his father passed away, the son went in a wayward path, he got involved in different things he shouldn't get involved in. Rebbe comes and gives him smicha. He wasn't Talmud Chacham. He says, well, now that you have smicha, obviously you have to live up to a certain reputation, so you have to learn. I understood for this person, imposing that external definition will be beneficial. So if we all are as externals, that's very dangerous. You have to be, it has to be true. It has to be the malach al-makloi, that this definition is part of who you are. But to think that you're going to do it without the help of different, b'takbulah taseh l'chom l'chom, the Pasuk says, using wisdom to understand how you can, so one person takes Nadorim, he can recite himself through Nadorim. And that's one approach. One approach, Rotel Katz used to say that Busha is a tremendously valuable thing. It's what makes the world function. You know, we get involved, we forget, we're lazy, we have many reasons why we don't things we have to do, but we do them because we'd be embarrassed if we did. We'd be embarrassed. We have desires and taivas, but we don't do them because we'd be embarrassed. But what is busha? Busha is that feeling of not living up to who you are. So the Gemara says the definition of a levush is loy busha. Levush is to prevent us from having busha. We're embarrassed when we're not clothed. because we know that's not who we are. We're something greater than that. So we understand the clothing covers the emptiness. The nakedness of the person is being covered, because that's not who we are. We're something greater than that. When you look at me just without the clothing and say, that's not really who you are, I don't want to define myself like that. So when I undertake to dress in a certain way, I'm making a statement of who I am. Some of you have met read Rav Aaron's essay in Timepieces, a dialogue in Bekesha and Blue Jeans, right? Who read it? Okay, yeah. Okay, right. Getting involved in the whole conversation over there. So, you know, there is this anti-establishment movement which started in the 60s, right? That, you know, just dress whatever. Right? You know, clothing is not important. It's, you know, just be who you are. Don't define yourself by externals, etc., etc., etc. So the establishment was represented by the three-piece suits, right? And the rebellion was represented by the blue jeans. So there's a conversation between the Rebbe and this neophyte young man over here. We'll call him Baal Tshuva, not Baal Tshuva yet, whatever it is. He says, like, why do you dress the way you dress? Why do you dress the way you dress? Because I want to show clothing is not important. So let's say you open your closet and there's nothing available to wear except for a three-piece suit. What would you do? I'd be very disturbed. Why? Clothing is not important. Apparently clothing is important. Clothing defines you. And you understand that when you're wearing that, you're making a statement by wearing blue jeans, and that's also a statement. So you're also into clothing as much as I'm into clothing. But my goal with that clothing is to make me live to a higher standard. Your goal with your clothing is to make you live with a lower standard. We're not arguing that the purpose of clothing is to create standards. Touché. So the Rambam says that Malbush Talmud Chochem is Malbush Noki. It's clean. Also, the Gemara says it's Talmud Chochem who has dirt stains on his clothing is Chayv Misa. People look at it and say that that's what the Talmud Chochem is. He's creating a statement. You don't wear clothing. Clothing which will draw attention. Clothing which lowers your stature. Should be average. They should be nice. You shouldn't be visible in your physical body, which certain types of clothing. People which have the very showing off, pompous. It describes you should have a beshiad to rest your voice of. The Rambam goes to the pratim exactly how a person should. You shouldn't wear torn shoes. Okay. So this week's parsha, the Torah describes the idea that begadim are lekavod l'siforos, that we need to dress the kohen in a certain way, and the Gemara says the Gemara Zevachim says that this is very significant. To be the kohen are very significant. The halacha is that a kohen who does the avodah without begadim, the avodah is possible. He has a din like a zor. There's not should be gdeim aleim kunasim aleim. The definition of kahuna is defined by the begotten. It's not enough that you're a kayan, and you're a ben kayan, and you're a ben kayan, and go back to Aaron a kayan. It's not enough that you're a tzaddik and a talmud chacham. It's not enough that you went to the mikveh that morning. It's not enough that you're wearing a gartel. You have to wear the clothing, and that defines that you're a kayan. So Dessa writes that, you know, we find this to be hypocritical. You know, if you want to be real, just do it. Just do what you believe in, you know, and believe in it. Why do you need externals? And the whole idea of relying on externals is beneath our dignity. So we try and do it. The Chazal said, "La'olam yasagodim b'tarimitz mishlo lishma, shemitach shal lishma bo lishma." To jump straight to lishma doesn't work. We need to create a certain standard for ourselves. We need to impose it upon ourselves and recognize that we need help. There's nothing wrong with asking for help. So sometimes the help is we have to give ourselves help. Yes, I came to certain understandings and certain recognitions. I know that there's going to be ups and downs. Life has ups and downs. I understand that it's important to me. But tomorrow morning, it's very hard to remember that while I'm lying in bed. So what's going to be mechayev me to get out of bed tomorrow morning? So I make a neder. I create a chavrusa shav. And I tell you, I promise I'm going to be there. Don't worry. So now I'm embarrassed not to get out of bed. Because I have a mechayev. And I said, Mamarashach, do you believe in davening is important? So what are you in a mechayev for? Just get up for davening. Elama, you don't believe in it? So what are you doing it for? Oh, that's not true. Of course you believe in it. You know it's important. But we also recognize that human beings have ups and downs. Human beings have yitzharas. Human beings have having a conversation with your yitzharas, but going to davening while you're prone in bed is a horrible place to have the conversation. So you create externals which are machai of you. That you, Arab, you come to a clarity of understanding, and then you take that and you are also understand the nature of you with your milus and your chesaronus, and you create ways to impose those standards upon yourself, the standards that you want, the standards that you'll be embarrassed from if you don't keep them, because you know that that's not really you. Busha is when you don't live up to who you were supposed to be, to expectations. Whose expectations? To yours. So there's a certain levush of a ben Torah that defines that, you know what, I have these expectations for me. People always ask me about this, you know, the clothing with the yeshivish style of dressing. Is it important, not important? So, I don't know. I'm not getting involved in that. But I told a Talmud that says, you know, who did not dress yeshivas, and I said, you know, in this yeshiva, I really don't care. The society we live in, it doesn't make that so much of a difference. Some people call me up for shidduchim questions, you know, how does he dress? I said, you know what? I said, if a person calls up from South Africa to the Congo and he says, well, how does he dress? He says, you have to know what's called normal dress in Congo before you ask the question. The person can be the best guy in all of Congo, but he doesn't dress like he does in South Africa. It's not going to help you. If you define him on the wrong standard, on the wrong definition, it doesn't work. You're calling me from City X. We're over there wearing a pink shirt, makes a statement, to a place where a pink shirt doesn't make a statement. I'm not saying he wears a pink shirt, you know, but you know. All right, so you don't understand the question. So let's talk the question first, and then we get, you know, what the standards are. I said, but I said this time, he's moving now to City X. Over there, those clothing does make a statement. What are you going to do? Well, I don't believe in these things. You didn't answer my question. When you're not going to dress that way, you're making a statement that you belong to something which you don't really believe you belong in. You believe you belong to group A, which dresses a certain way. If clothing is so not important to you, what's the difference to you that you should wear a black hat or not? I can't wear a black hat. I'm against it. Mashita, like what? What's your problem? If that city, that's how you define who you are, and that's machayev you a standard of function which you wrote that you want. So what helps you? What are you scared of? You're going to become external? Don't worry about it, you won't become external. That's an avoid of lifetime, not to become external. Yeah, I understand. There's people who do that, and that's all they have, is the black hat. It's a black hat on top of a sheretz. Okay? Shkoyah. But you're not going to become that. If you are, if that's what we're worried about, we have a lot of problems we have to discuss. So the point of expectation, recognizing who we are, and then creating a standard of how we act. The Rambam says clothing. This is part of a perek, which the Rambam starts. He says that a change of chacham nikar bechachmosayu b'day oisav, and he's different than other people. He's different in his action, how he eats, how he drinks, how he interfaces with his wife, how he goes to the bathroom, how he talks, how he walks, how he wears his clothing, how he interfaces with people, all of those things. There's an expectation of how you have to act. Somewhat true to who you are, somewhat being exposed upon yourself of what you want to be. Because you recognize we will live up to what we want to be within range. If I decided I want to be the Gadol HaDor, I start wearing a kapot, that's not going to help me because there's nothing inside. I've been wearing a kapotas, it's mechayiv me. Yeah, you know, but you can't live up to that expectation. But if within range, this is what my goals are, this is what my desire, my dreams are, this is what I would like to accomplish, what I would like to be. So then live, then dress the part. Then act the part. Rebbe Miller sets out, and one of his shmuzin was talking about the idea of acting. So again, we're worried about this hypocrisy. Hypocrisy means I'm imposing myself something which I don't want to be. Just I'm doing it to fool you. That's hypocrisy. If I really want it, and I made a decision that's what I want, and I recognize that sometimes I'm going to have to force myself to do it even though I'm not really in the mood, that's not being hypocritical. That's a form of growth. And it says, imagine, this example gave us a husband and a wife, you know, wife says something to the husband and he's really not in a good mood. He's not in a good mood right now. Right? She doesn't want to act nice in his response. That's the it's a hard talk right now, but that's not his real desire, how to live with his wife. He would like to be nice to his wife and not say bad things. She says to go in the bathroom, lock the door, and stay in there until you're ready to come out and act right. Even when you're not in the mood, you learn how to act. He says, a person is acting in Shakespeare play Julius Caesar, and there's one scene where Brutus takes the knife and stabs it into Caesar's chest. Now, the actor who's playing Brutus, he's done this 3,000 times. So as he's doing it, he has this tremendous yawn. It's so boring to him. He doesn't yawn, because that's part of acting. You know, at this situation, you need to act a certain way. So when you're interfacing with your wife, you need to act a certain way, whether you're in the mood of it or not. Said, no, we have to be honest about our feelings. I have to tell my wife, I really hate her guts right now. Don't come to me afterwards when you have Shalom Bayis problems. For this moment, you're in a bad mood. Everything gets on your nerves. And so, yeah, so that's your reaction. And we spoke about Friday morning, right? You know, we have reactions to things. That's not who you really want to be. So right now, act the way you want to be. Even though it's not... But it's not being honest. This honest thing, you know. There's a lot of you allowed to lie for Shalom Bayis. So what does it mean you allowed to lie for Shalom Bayis? So it means you have a situation where the husband and the wife, they really don't like each other. But for sake of Shalom Bayis, they keep pretending. That's not Shalom Bayis. There's a real problem with it. They need to be honest and they need to address it. The halacha of lying with Shalom Bayis is in the following. Wife has a definition of her husband's respect and love. The definition is that whenever she says, the husband remembers it, hearing it one time. That's her definition. She decided that if you really love me, whatever I say, you will listen to so well, you'll never forget what I say. So I send you to the store and ask you to get something. You're not going to call me up and ask me, what did you say again? What do you mean, what do you say? You didn't listen to what I told you to get. Who do you think I am? You say I'm the most important person. If your Rosh Hashiva asked you to go to the store, you wouldn't forget. If your Rosh Hashiva should call you and say, please go to the store and get me, you wouldn't forget. Me, you forget. That's her definition. Now, her husband happens to be, he has ADD. And, you know, OCD and everything. I don't know, he has all good tzachen, you know. And remembering what his wife asked is the most difficult thing in the world for him. So he goes to the store and she comes back. Did you take care of it? He says, yeah, I took care of it. He's lying. He didn't. What, is he lying? He's really saying, you are the most important person in my world. I respect you tremendously. You're so dear to me. But the way I say those words to my wife right now is by saying, which is true, the way you say those words to your wife, which are true, is by saying, I took care of it. The words you said were false, but the message is true. That's Shalom Bayis. That you're allowed to lie. The words are false, but the message is true. Because what the woman hears is not the word. She hears the message. And vice versa. But if the message is not true and the words are not true, we have a different problem. That's the same thing. Forget about to your wife, to yourself. If the message is true of who I am, this message is true, even though the words, quote unquote, are false, that's not hypocrisy, that's not sheker. That's being honest with my realities and working with them. And if I don't do that, I'm playing a game. I once, it was in my, I'll give you a mushal. Dating, not with my wife. And young lady says to me that, you know, she's very hesitant about the idea of, she liked the idea of curlo, but she's really hesitant. Because one of the guys she was dating said that he's very hesitant to go into the curlo because you get paid for curlo. So you're getting paid to learn. And if he baffles a minute, it's pasha gzela. Samela, he's not going to go to learn because he's worried about gzela. She said she's hesitant to marry somebody who's learning because there's always a chance of gzela because who keeps up that standard? So I didn't want to make the date into a philosophical debate. Right? You're not getting the amount of money you're getting paid in Carlo is not that you should learn every single second. Right? You're getting paid $100,000 a year, $200,000 a year. Yes, now the guy owns you. And he has expectations, which, you know, but you're not getting paid that, I promise you, not in Carlo. Not in my Carlo for sure. I don't know. Right? You're getting paid to act to what's considered a normal standard. Yes, a person who's getting paid to learn in Carlo, which we expect him to learn X amount of hours a day, and he learns an hour a day, we got a problem. And there might be a decision they should be in Carlo anyway. They have to work at that. But the person who comes and says, you know, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm doing the best that I can, and that's what is expected from me, and I try and keep up that even on the days I'm not in the mood. I don't enjoy learning today, so I'm not going to learn because it's hypocritical. So that's the lesson of this week's parasha, that clothing defined the person. Clothing are something which is imposed externally upon us. At a first glance, that sounds very strange to us. And this is what Kadosh Baruch Hu gave to Adam HaRishon. From now on, there's going to be a fight inside of you. And there's going to be a side of you which wants X and a side of you which wants Y. And you need to be honest that you really want X, and that's the truth. So help yourself get X. Define yourself, impose upon yourself X, because that's really what you are and that's really what you want. And never lose sight of what you really are. And when you take off that garment, you're going to be confused a little bit. When you put it on, the custom's or. So the pasuk was written with an ayin. It's physical garments. The medrash says, the Zohar says that in the Meir Sefer Torah is written with an aleph. These are they're clothing of light. They're so enlightening. They're so clarifying. Light is what clarifies. It's a world of confusion. This that you're putting upon yourself is not confusing you. It's enlightening you. It's clarifying for you who you really are. That's the avodah which we have specifically about in Hag of Malbush, but in every single area that we have, creating these external hiskaivias, which are a true expression of who we really are, even though that moment we might not feel like that, is not a falsehood. That's the arava, that's the emes. And that's what we need to impose upon ourselves. Those customs or the physical with an ayin will be customs or with an olive.